The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Ride Home. We're excited that you're with us today. We've got a jam-packed show full of very interesting guests and topics. Kath, it's good to see you. How are things at the homestead?
Thank you. Things are well here. I'm sorry that you're speaking to us wounded.
I am a bird with a broken wing at this point.
What has happened to you, and why are you immobile on one side?
Yeah, I was out in the yard late at night, you know, enjoying the beautiful late summer evening.
As one does.
After the rainfall, looking at the sky. It was about, 9:20, still light, actually. Still light in the sky around 9:20. I came down a little embankment to go into the house, and when I did, the wet grass and I went up in the air and flew for a second, came down hard. I think I've re-injured my rotator cuff, which has been a pretty common thing for me over the years. I've never had it surgically, put back together again. It's one of those things, it's a nag, and then it comes and goes away. But then I think, last night might have put the deal on it. Ow! Ouch! Ouch! So I'm living on Advil and iced tea.
Okay, so did you scream and yell and like your loved ones had to come find you in the yard?
No.
Was it that type
I just
of
went,
thing?
Boom. It was like somebody picked me up and went boom. And I was like, saw little birdies there for a few seconds. I got up. Okay, I didn't break anything. Then I went into the house feeling, humbled with a wet bottom. And
which was the least of your problems.
Right, seeking the solace of my dear wife. That's all.
Wow, Mike, don't we feel badly for him?
Sure do. Poor guy.
Oh, yeah.
You need me to come over and make you any soup, John, or anything for you?
No, but I'd like to have a little place to land.
I feel like it's important to harken back to when Mike hurt his shoulder playing slow pitch softball, I believe. Yeah. Is that true, Mike?
Church slow pitch softball. Yes, yeah. I've been there.
Weren't you wearing, were wearing like a little... a little tuck thing, right? Didn't you have a little
sling? Yeah, I had a little black sling on. And I had that on for about 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
3 weeks or so. And then I was supposed to be a good boy and go to physical therapy, and I was a bad boy. And I recommend you, John, to make sure if your doctors encourage you to go to physical therapy.
Oh, okay. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Advice from Mike, the producer.
There you go.
Good job, Mike. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it's probably crucial, though, at this stage for us to bring back the memory that when Mike was injured, we treated him very badly.
I'm not injured.
Okay. You are injured, and you should have a sling if you would go to the doctor, but you won't.
Had I not, of course, had I not disclosed that, I would just act like everything's fine. No one would know. But I just, I confided in you. And, of course, as my good friend, you broadcast that over 50,000
I think it's my obligation to the listening audience. Now, let me say that when Mike had his arm in a sling, what we did to let him know how much we cared was we took a video of him without him knowing of him trying to get his headset on. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
And then the good thing was that we put it all out over social media.
Yeah. Right. That was a low point.
Right. Yeah, it was a low point.
I think we've done well by each other. And I seem to remember the day that I collapsed in the Word FM studios before Mike was around. Mm-hmm. The response I got was that someone drew a white chalk outline around where I was lying after I left for home.
I mean, in your suffering, we must, mock you, right? But I'm fine. Look at me. I'm the picture of health here.
You're not the picture of health. You're very injured. You're on a lot of pain medication, and you're not yourself. And how could you be? Because you wiped out.
Did I ever? Yeah. Anyway.
John, we're very sorry.
This is a sick bay medical update for Monday afternoon. What's going on with you?
Well, not much, but I did want to wish both of you a happy Father's Day one day after.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It was a good day up until the last minute.
What?
It was a really good day. I had a nap. I had a very nice meal. few things came my way, nice little presents, lots of love, you know, all that attention, yada, yada.
Well, you know what's sad is that Mike, you know, is going to be moving in about a week and a half, and his wife has injured her elbow and is unable to help him. And so he just confided in me over the weekend that he was going to put out like the red carpet and ask you, John, to be the chief of his moving crew.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking, you know, I knew that Mike was about to move and I had not been asked to move. And I, in the back of my head, I was feeling a little bit guilty about that. But, you know, now that I'm injured, I'm off the hook.
You are.
That's good. That's good.
Which means, Kath, you're stuck. Kath. You're going to have to help now.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the press and the VP. Yeah. It's like when the press goes down, the VP has to serve.
There
it is.
It's
like the pens, right? The pens say, next man up. Although you're
I'm
not
in
man.
Charge of the move for the Duffies. Look out, people. Let me just say that. All right. We have a terrific show coming up today. In our 5 o'clock hour, we'll go to the phones and talk about statues, historical statues. Should they stay or should they go? We want to hear from you. We want to hear how you're making your decisions and what you think about all this. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from your voices. And of course, if you want to weigh in on our Facebook live stream, you can do that as well. You can find us on Facebook, The Ride Home with John and Kathy, or 101.5 The Word FM. The Word? No, 101.5 Word FM. It's like the first time I've ever said this, John. This like 8 times a day. Anyway, in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk about a brand new film coming out. Larry Elder, the sage from South Central, will be with us. The movie, Uncle Tom, an oral history of the American Black conservative. From Larry Elder's own mouth, you can hear his perspective on current things and the racial divide in America. That is at 4:40. And coming up next, our good friend Greg Clugston was with the president in the Tulsa rally that kind of wasn't nearly as big as we all expected. We'll hear details coming up next on the Monday edition of The Ride Home. Thanks for being here.
WORD.
Had your family ever faced hunger at a level where their life was at risk or had little or no access to clean drinking water? For children in the countries of Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda, it's a battle they face every single day. Word FM and Cross International is asking for your help to provide life-saving resources for children in these African countries to solve this crisis and assist with COVID-19 efforts. A $62 one-time gift provides food, water, COVID-19 assistance, and a Bible. You can get involved right now by calling 866-806-2977 or look for the Cross International banner at wordfm.com.
For a lot of people, from time to time, you ask yourself this question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Certainly your family around you, a smaller circle of church friends or associates, all that. But it's core to how we look at the world, how we engage in the world. Who do you trust? And especially when your child is about to go to college, who are you trusting to teach your child what it is to live in this world? When I've asked myself that question, who do you trust? I go back to Grove City College. My child's been at Grove City College. We love the environment, the education, the faculty, the staff. They know Christ. I trust them because I know that he knows them as well. Grove City College. Kath, what about you? Who do you trust?
Well, yeah, I've had an excellent experience with the professors at Grove City. My daughter goes there, but I have to go to the administration too, John. I mean, just yesterday we had a screw up on our bill, and it was one of those things where you can imagine that you would have to be on the phone for 3 hours or on 10 different websites. But my husband called Grove City, talked to one woman, and in 30 minutes it was worked out. I mean, just person to person, that's the connection I think we're all looking for.
Fabulous. Do yourself a favor. Look online. Who do you trust? GCC.edu. That's Grove City College.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We or United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park, Grove, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
There was a lot of anticipation about President Trump as he visited Tulsa over the weekend. And holy smokes, I mean, the news reports were expecting some sort of rioting, mass demonstrations, massive crowds. And the fact of the matter is, none of that turned out to be true. Greg Clugston, who is with us on a regular basis every Monday, was with the president aboard Air Force One. So he saw history up close and in person. He's with us now. Greg, welcome back to the show. Oh, we lost Greg?
We just lost Greg.
Okay. All right,
that's
thanks.
Good. Okay. Yeah, so that was a big surprise, John, right? There was more pomp and circumstance about the rally than there actually was for the rally.
Yeah, I think it's probably a true harbinger of what the news media is about today, right?
Yeah. I think it was horrible timing when he decided he was going to do his very first rally in Tulsa on Juneteenth. Right. So it took several weeks for that. I don't know, his advising staff, his campaign staff, him, whatever, to decide that that was a bad idea and to put it off until the 20th, which was Saturday. But by then it had been in the news cycle, you know, like at the top for so long that by the time the rally actually happened, and I don't know, were there 6,000 people in attendance?
I think what they said, the official count was a little over 6,000. Hey, Greg's back with us. We missed the connection. Hey, Greg, thanks for coming along today. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. Good to be here, John, Kathy.
Greg, we were thrilled for you that you were able to have a front row seat to the goings on Saturday with the president, his very first campaign rally of this presidential election season in Tulsa on Saturday. What was it like?
Well, you know, there was a lot of hype and a lot of news coverage leading up to the event on Saturday evening, of course. All week long, people were talking about expected huge crowds, and there was talk about the health concerns and risks about having such a large indoor gathering, all those things leading up to it. We walked into the arena, and to be honest, the first thing we saw were some of those, you know, empty blue seats in the upper deck, upper bowl. And that was very surprising. I've been to many Trump rallies in six or seven states now, and this by far was the least populated of them. There's just no question. So that was surprising, I think, to all of us in the media, certainly. And the campaign wasn't very happy about it, of course. Now, the White House was trying to say the president was pleased with the rally despite the lower numbers, and they've been pointing to a lot of online viewing and also big ratings for the Fox News channel, which also carried the rally. So they're saying a lot of people tuned in, even if the crowd in person wasn't as big as anticipated.
Right. Okay. So, Greg, easy to point the finger, right? I mean, was it concerns about coronavirus? Was it a TikTok teen performance? There were many other sort of, input as to what the low attendance was about. What do you think?
John, I don't know if we know specifically the reason. And I was in discussions with people on this ever since I got back late Saturday night and yesterday. Basically, I think it could be a combination of those factors. It could have been some sabotage by, you know, electronic RSVPs from people who had no intention of attending in person. It could have been very serious and real concerns that people have about contracting the coronavirus and being at risk in a crowd like that. It could also point to some softening of support for the president. We don't know that for sure, but that's a possibility. So it could be all of those factors. Also, the possibility of, they were saying there could have been upwards of 100,000 people on the streets outside of the arena and possibly some clashes and protests and violence. And so that could have kept some people away as well. My guess is probably a combination of those and possibly other factors.
Okay. Sure. From your perspective, Greg, talk about what it was like to have this be kind of the first step in the heat of the presidential campaign cycle.
Yeah, obviously the campaign rallies and other campaign-related events have been sidelined, for months now because of this pandemic. And so this was really an effort by the Trump campaign to really kickstart the effort to go forward. I was in Orlando last year when the president and the vice president formally, you know, announced that they were going to be, you know, running as a ticket again. They had a big rally there, and that was seen as the kickoff. Of course, that was months and months before, you know, the real hard campaigning the summer before Election Day. So this was really an attempt at a restart, and the Trump campaign is hoping to really, you know, even if there were only 6 or 8 or 10,000 people in there, whatever the count number that you want to go with, the campaign is quick to point out there are nowhere near that many people attending any of the Biden events, of which there are few right now. So there's still a contrast to be made between the Trump and the Biden campaigns.
Greg, what about for you personally? I mean, you get to see a little piece of history. There you are flying aboard Air Force One with the president and the press corps. It had to feel a little surreal.
It did. It was an interesting assignment. There's no question about that. And there was, you know, some concern, I would say, among those of us in the press corps, because we just simply didn't know what to expect when we got on the ground in Tulsa late Saturday afternoon. When we were just landing, our phones started buzzing, and we were getting campaign updates that the vice president and the president both would not be speaking at an outdoor stage that had been planned prior to the rally outside of the arena in Tulsa. And so we didn't know exactly the reasons at that moment as to why. So we knew when we hit the ground running, things were changing on the fly, and that's just the nature of these kinds of events. From a personal standpoint and from a personal health perspective, you know, I, along with other members of the press corps, you know, we were wearing masks, N95 masks, most of us, on the ground. I kept it on for 3 hours from the time we got off the plane till we got back on the plane, just as a personal safety precaution. And we didn't let that interfere with our work to, you know, to record the event and to report it to our listeners.
Greg Clugston with us, reporting better than anybody else, in our opinion, SRN News White House correspondent. Greg, any commentary or perhaps any assessment, and you might not know this, but I'm wondering if there's any conversation amongst the campaign staff on the first the decision to have the campaign rally on Juneteenth, and whether that has harmed his campaign at all, whether that harmed the turnout on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Kathy, because that could easily be another factor that played into, you know, what we ended up seeing in Tulsa on Saturday night. That was a problem for the campaign, obviously, scheduling it, not just on that day, but also in Tulsa, which has a history of violence against blacks on that very date. 99 years ago. So it was a confluence of all of those factors that did not cross the minds or of campaign officials, or they simply were unaware of the history there. So that was very curious. It's interesting also because the campaign selected a state that voted overwhelmingly for Trump in 2016. Oklahoma is traditionally a red state, supports Republicans much more so than Democratic candidates. And so for them to launch in a place like Tulsa and then not have the, you know, sort of the raucous crowd that we are accustomed to seeing at these rallies, that was very curious. But certainly what was interesting to me also is the fact that while there were some new references in the president's speech, It was largely something that we've heard at his past rallies. And, you know, it's been 3.5 months since his last rally, which was in North Carolina before the pandemic shut everything down. And our country and our world, a lot different, and especially in the U.S., not just from the coronavirus perspective, but also in terms of the national conversation and debate involving racism and police brutality and the use of force. And some of that was just sort of glossed over by the president. He didn't address some of those very key issues in a much different political environment now here in the U.S.
Right. So, Greg, these events, of course, have become a hallmark of the president, not necessarily built to change any minds, more just to energize the base. So with the disappointment, at least as far as numbers, it's neither here nor there. This is just, you know, one small step as the campaign starts to re-energize as coronavirus, and hopefully, as the president moves forward, dampens a little bit and crowds will start to gather.
Yeah, certainly that's the hope of the campaign and supporters. Certainly the president still has a solid base of support that we have seen change very little during his time in office since being elected president, and those poll numbers, they have stayed steady, which is good news in terms of that very firm base of support for him. On the other hand, another way of looking at it is he hasn't expanded that base very much in the last 3.5 years, and that's probably of some concern to some of his supporters. And the campaign team is looking for, whether it's in places like Tulsa or maybe if in future rallies in the coming weeks when he's in Florida and Arizona, perhaps they will use rallies there to not just only strengthen the base, but also reach out and hopefully capture some of those either, middle-of-the-road voters or independent voters or others who may be still, on the fence about what they're going to be doing come Election Day in November.
I see. Yeah. Let's move forward to other news. Greg Clugston's with us from SRN News, Salem Radio Network. Greg, just before he came to air, we saw that the Trump administration, has signed an order suspending work visas, barring entry to foreigners, and apparently angering businesses. Talk about this this new order.
Yes, this is an executive order that, if it hasn't been signed already by the president, will be signed by the end of the day here today. We had a senior administration official brief reporters just within the last 90 minutes or so giving some information. It's essentially extending a ban on green cards until the end of the year, and a lot of temporary work visas are going to be, frozen for additional period of time here. And the explanation from the White House is the president is making this move because he wants to be able to free up jobs in an economy that needs to get a lot of Americans back to work for those who have lost your jobs or have been altered in some way in terms of their employment. Now, these are typically jobs, on these green cards and on these work visas that are heavily used by, technology companies and other multinational corporations. There are going to be some exceptions for agricultural workers, but still, it could affect several hundred thousand people. And so we'll have to see. We'll have to see if there's any business backlash against the White House on this. That'll be sort of the segment of the population to be really watching to see if they're angered and upset by it. And the early indications are that some of them are not very happy by the action.
Greg, what about the workplace discrimination case that was decided last week by SCOTUS? I'm sure the president wasn't very happy with the way that the ruling went. He probably was even unhappier that Neil Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion. Did he make a comment about that? Did anyone in the administration comment?
He was asked about that either the day of or the following morning last week, and he was very, very calm and just basically said, the court has ruled, and we have to live by that ruling, and that's the way the system is set up. So he didn't really address the merits of that particular case, at least in that one Q&A that I'm aware of. He has been giving a variety of media interviews in the Oval Office here over the last 3 or 4 days, and whether another news organization followed up with him on that, I'm unaware of that right now. But he was very, as I said, very sort of calm about that. But then the next day, there was another ruling that the administration was not very happy with either, and he was started tweeting that he felt like the justices were pegging for him. They were going right. Unhappy with the president and were issuing these divided rulings that he felt were sort of aimed at him and his administration. So there still are a few more cases that the Supreme Court is going to be issuing here before the end of their term here, and we'll have to see if there are some other what the White House may view as judicial victories from their perspective.
I see. So, Greg, just a few minutes left. Talk about what's ahead. Anything brewing this week that we should be aware of with the president and the nation's capital?
Well, one familiar theme that the president has talked about throughout his administration, his time in office, is going to be on the front burner tomorrow, and that's the border and the border wall and immigration. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why he was signing this visa and this foreign visa worker visa executive order today, because he's going to be in Yuma, Arizona tomorrow, and he's going to be inspecting some of the progress on the wall, and is going to be making claims about progress there and giving a speech as well. So we'll be hearing about the wall tomorrow, and he'll have some other events later in the week that will continue to build on what the campaign and the White House both believe, sort of setting the foundation for his argument as he heads into the campaign full steam.
Okay. Greg, before you leave us, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much. It was a nice day with family, and I hope that your family's celebrations were nice as well.
Very much so. Thanks an awful lot.
Yeah, Greg, we wanted you to know that we celebrated with salmon, both the Halls and the Emmons, and we salute you as well.
We salute you.
Well, you can't forget crab cakes here in the Mid-Atlantic either. So I've got the West Coast.
Oh, come on, now you're adding crab cakes.
That's nice.
For heaven's sake, I don't know if I can like keep your whole favorite menu in my head all the time.
Was that what you had yesterday, crab cakes?
I didn't, but that would have been great. But we had some great Mexican food from a favorite family restaurant. So
excellent.
Nice. It was nice. Terrific.
Good job, right. Dad. Keep it up.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You too.
Thank you. Greg Clugston, Salem Radio Network News. You can find out more about Greg at wordfm.com.
Well, he wasn't satisfied with the salmon, John. He was moving it up to crab cake.
Hey, who doesn't love a crab cake? Do you love a crab cake?
I didn't used to,
what?
But I think you got me into the crab cake situation.
Yeah.
And now, crab cake on a salad with some kind of like Dijon dressing. How delicious
nice.
Is that?
Yeah, that's
all I can think of right now that Greg's brought it up.
It's not for dinner, though, is it?
No, because I don't have that.
No, of course you don't. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We got more ahead. Larry Elder is going to be with us during the second part of the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
You've worked hard to provide for your family, but what happens when you're no longer here? You know, when people plan for retirement, they sometimes forget to consider their financial legacy. Your assets should go where you want them to go, not where some probate court decides. So why not be proactive? Kevin Bott can show you how to pass your assets along to your loved ones in the most tax-efficient way possible. Call Kevin at 724-837-3553 or online at IntegrityRetirementSolutions.com.
Insurance and annuities offered through Kevin Bach, PA Insurance License Number 352896.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Coming down the home stretch is Liberty Mutual, followed by Customizes Your Car Insurance. But wait, from the back comes So You Only Pay for What You Need. So it's Liberty Mutual, Customizes Your Car Insurance, So You Only Pay for What You Need. And I'm pretty sure this is just an elaborate insurance ad.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word, Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Tonight, Portland and mostly cloudy, warm and humid, low 66. Humid tomorrow with more clouds than sunshine. Watch for a strong afternoon thunderstorm that can bring flash flooding and damaging winds. High tomorrow, 78. Wednesday, clouds and sunshine, perhaps a shower or a thunderstorm in some spots. High 76. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
One of the best things the internet is all about is animal videos, right? I mean, who among us doesn't like a nice, cute video of a cat or a dog doing a trick, right? Oftentimes you see these videos of, like, I love this, like the reunion videos where there's someone who raised, I don't know who these people are, someone has raised a jaguar whenever the jaguar was, like, you know, 6 days old. And then whenever the jaguar is old enough, the jaguar goes off into the, you know, into nature. And then the jaguar comes back, you know, 30 years later, the owner comes back and all of a sudden there's a, you know, reunited. It's dangerous, but hey, they remember. Well, I don't have a story about a jaguar or an elephant or anything like that.
Uh-huh. What do you have?
Well, I saw in USA Today that a man who is a shepherd had to leave. I don't know, you know, the particulars of why, you know, when he left. But, of course, COVID-19 has affected everyone. And so this man had to leave his flock. And as part of his shepherding duties, he had a donkey. And so the man was gone for some 2 months. Left the job, but then he came back and he wondered if the donkey would remember him. And so we're going to play a clip here. The man is speaking in Spanish. The man cries and then the donkey reciprocates. Here it is, Mike.
¿Dónde está? Oye, ¿qué hace?
So the man sees
Hola.
The donkey.
¿Qué we pasa? Close captioning. ¿Dónde está mi burrilla? ¿Dónde está? ¿Eh? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Eh? ¿Dónde está mi tía? O más bien, ¿dónde estaba yo? ¿Qué?
So the guy's crying. Hey, I miss my donkey.
¿Qué pasa? Oh.
Here's the donkey's tontería. Little one. Sure.
Oye.
What's going on?
¿Qué? ¿Qué?
Now there's a donkey crying. I mean, you know, you don't hear a donkey cry every day, do you?
So the donkey's crying with joy that he's back?
Yes, he is. There you go. So man and donkey are reunited, a tearful reunion, and all is right and well, at least in that corner of the world.
John, you being wounded as you are, that's a very sweet story.
It is, yeah. You know, I get a little emotional when I physically injure myself, so I've been looking at that donkey story.
I appreciate that. I wondered if you'd be kind enough. Well, I guess you should tell me where I can find the article and post it on our Facebook page, because you with your broken wing, your typing really stinks.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway, who doesn't like a happy ending, right?
I love a happy
donkey
ending.
Donkey and man reunited once again.
Gosh, it's like it's better than the Bold and the Beautiful story we did on Friday.
Yes, thank you. All right. So what do you say? We take a break. We have these last couple of weeks. How many guests have we brought on the air? Pastors, theologians?
About 16.
We have run the gamut, and we have talked an awful lot about racism and not the organization, but the mindset of Black Lives Matter. There's been a myriad of opinions that have sort of joined around that, for better and worse. And Larry Elder is going to join us in a few minutes. Larry is a talk show host with the Salem Network, of which our show is part of as well. And Larry is a Black man. For many, many years, he is was a talk show host locally in Los Angeles. Now he is syndicated across the Salem Network, and he has a story to tell because he's got a brand new movie out, which is going to make some people nod their head in a recognition and go, yes, and it's going to anger a lot of other people as well. But that is the age we live in today. It's not our story. I have not lived this life, but Larry Elder has. Mm-hmm. So he's going to talk about his brand new film. It's called, shockingly so, Uncle Tom. And Larry Elder will talk about that film, which is available now for purchase. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Larry Elder of the Salem Radio Network. Stick around.
101.5 WORD.
You're listening now, so we know you're a fan of the radio station.
I am a big fan.
And we want you to know that we appreciate you.
I'm your number one fan!
That's why we've developed the Word FM Fan Club. It's free to join, and once you do, you can take part in exclusive surveys and contests.
Yeah, I love contests.
Special offers.
Great giveaways.
Discounts. Freebies.
I'd like to win one of these contests.
Become a member today. Go to wordfm.com/fanclub and sign up.
We're big fans.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
I did this weird thing as a kid. I would fall asleep with my blanket completely over my head, with only my mouth and nose poking out the side. I guess I liked the protection that the blanket offered, while still being a fan of breathing. I think a lot of us are feeling that way today, juggling how to handle the protection that our homes give us, with the desire to get out and breathe a little bit. At our Faith and Family Mortgage Team, we don't have the end answer on how to best handle our current world, but we are pretty good at mortgages. If you're thinking of getting out and making that new home purchase you've been dreaming about, our company's Direct Lender Advantage can often get you a lower rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Or, if you decided to hunker down at home a bit longer and want to use that time and some of your home equity to do some sweet home upgrades, our Direct Lender Advantages may help with that too. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. So why not consider a private Christian school that's been serving the community for nearly 40 years? At Central Christian Academy in Houston, pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to propel them to the top of the class in high school and beyond. Central Christian Academy creates model student leaders other kids look up to. Students prepared for a world that needs Jesus. Schedule a private tour and learn more at ccaschool.com.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
Since the death of George Floyd, we have had a lot of conversation about race on our program. We've talked to, I don't know, what did I say, 16 guests?
16, yeah, over the past couple of weeks.
In the past couple of weeks. We've opened up the phone lines. We've tried to do our very best to just shut up and just listen to other people. And so the person we're eager to hear from today is Larry Elder. Larry has hosted the longest running afternoon drive time radio show in LA, beginning back in March 1994, the Larry Elder Show. It's been top rated. It's now broadcast across the nation on the Salem Radio Network. And of course, you can hear it wherever podcasts are heard. He's also the author of the best-selling book, The 10 Things You Can't Say in America, and the brand new film, Uncle Tom, An Oral History of the American Black Conservative. Larry Elder, welcome in.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I really do appreciate it. Now I have to live up to it.
You will.
Larry, Kath and I listen to you on the way home when our show's over here in the city of Pittsburgh. It airs at 6 o'clock on Word FM every day. Now, of course, you know this. You've followed along for many, many decades. The story is in America that America is a deeply racist country. And if you're a black person in this country, you just can't get ahead. There's just no way.
Right.
Something called systemic racism has enveloped this country, and that's where we are. And also because of the brutality and the murderous ways of the police in this country, disproportionately, blacks are killed more often than whites. Uncle Tom, the movie, is now available for purchase. Your narrative goes traditionally strongly against that, doesn't it?
It, It sure does. You know, the reason I did Uncle Tom 2 years ago is because of the way people like myself and Candace Owens and Herman Cain and Alan West and many others who are in the film are treated simply for raising questions. Is it true that all the major problems that are facing the black community right now can be traced to slavery and Jim Crow? Is it true that race and racism remain a major impediment to success in the year 2020? And because we have a different point of view, because we believe that if you work hard, get at least a good education, don't have a child before you get married, and get married before you have a child, you follow that formula, you will not be poor. And the fact that we just elected a black president who got reelected, I mean, this man came from nowhere. We couldn't even pronounce his last name. He takes down Hillary Clinton, the presumptive nominee. He wins. He wins reelection, even though we had a tepid economic recovery. I thought when Obama got elected in 2008, we put a fork in the notion that America is an institutionally racist nation, but apparently we have not. It's just stunning to me that so many people out in the streets yelling and screaming about what these cops did, when in fact, if you look at the data shows not only are the police not disproportionately using deadly force against black people, but there's data that suggests the cops are more hesitant, more reluctant to pull the trigger on a black suspect. It is true that a black man is 2.5 times more likely to be killed by the police than a white man. It is also true that a young black man is 8 times more likely to be a victim of a homicide than a young white man. In fact, the number one preventable cause of death for young white men is accidents, like car accidents. The number one cause of death for young black men, whether preventable or not, is homicide, almost always at the hands of another young black man. Last year, nearly 50% of the homicide victims in this country are black. Almost all of them are killed by other blacks. The rate of interracial homicide is so tiny as to almost be inconsequential. But last year, there were roughly 750 blacks killed by whites or whites killed by blacks. 500 whites were killed by blacks. 250 blacks were killed by whites. So fewer whites kill blacks, even though whites are 60% of the population, and at 13% of the population, blacks kill twice as many whites as the other way around. It's nonsense that the police are out to get black people. It is nonsense that racism remains a major problem in America. And can I say one more thing about the major problem in America part? Before he became president, Obama gave a speech at a black church. He was a senator, and he said, "My generation," which he referred to as the Joshua generation, "has to get us 10% the rest of the way there," meaning the rest of the way there in terms of getting the vision that MLK wanted to realize. He said, "The MLK generation, the Moses generation, has gotten us 90% of the way there." So 90% of the way there, 10% left to go. This is before he got elected and reelected president. For crying out loud, in 2002, there was a Fox Opinion poll that found 8% of Americans believe Elvis is still alive. So you're not going to slice into too much more of that 10% when 8% of Americans believe Elvis is still alive. Nirvana is not an option. Are there going to be individual cases where there are bad cops, even indeed racist cops? Yes. And let's deal with them on a case-by-case basis and not act as if it's a microcosm of American law enforcement in general, because that is simply a lie. And simply believing something that's false is neither here nor there if it has no unintended consequences. But this has real-world consequences. What it does is cause young black men to become much more confrontational when they're stopped by the police. I mean, after all, if you believe that the police are out to get you and they're going to do you harm, why not be confrontational? And the other thing it does is cause the cops to become more hesitant, as I mentioned, to pull back. Bad guys know it. Crime goes up, and the very victims that Black Lives Matter claims they care about are the ones who are hurt.
So whenever you see someone like George Floyd and a cop lays on his neck for 9 minutes, or a couple of weeks before that, Ahmaud Arbery, who was murdered by a shotgun wielding guys in a pickup truck. I mean, those narratives, they're there. So America shakes their head. And obviously we say, yeah, of course we see this. It's hard to refute that, isn't it, Larry?
Well, it is. It's emotional, but look at the facts. According to the Washington Post, last year there were 9 unarmed blacks shot and killed by the police. Roughly 15 unarmed blacks killed altogether, but 9 were shot and killed by the police. There were 19 whites shot and killed by the police. The number of whites shot and killed by the police exceeds the number of blacks who are unarmed, shot and killed. But nobody seems to care about that because it doesn't drive the narrative. Many people in the media believe, I think with the best of intentions, that racism remains a major problem in America. That's what they were taught by Hollywood, by academia, by the media, and the Democrat politicians know damn well it's not true. I know that Sharpton knows it's not true. I know Jesse Jackson knows it's not true, because back in 1993, he was talking about black-on-black crime. He was lamenting it. And he even said in 1993, it's gotten to the point where when I walk down the street and I hear footsteps and I turn around and I see white people, I feel relieved. He said that back in 1993. This is what's going on right now. What's going on is the proliferation of black kids raised without fathers. That's the number one problem facing America, not racism. And forget about elder. Barack Obama once said a kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in jail. It is far and away the number one problem facing this country, and we have to ask ourselves, why is it that 70% of black kids are raised without fathers, as opposed to 50% in the Hispanic community, 25% in the white community? All these numbers are high, but why is it so bad in the black community? And the answer is we've incentivized women to marry the government, and we've incentivized men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility with the so-called war on poverty. In 1940, 87% of black people lived below the federally defined level of poverty. 20 years later, that number had been reduced to 47%, a 40-point drop in 20 years, the largest 20-year period of economic expansion in the history of black America. This was before the affirmative action, before the war on poverty, just people busting their butts and getting better. And what we've done is we corrupted their incentives, and we've destroyed the black family, and we're not even having that debate. And whenever anybody like myself or Candace Owens or Herman Cain or Alan West or some of the other people in my movie Uncle Tom raise this, rather than spark a healthy debate and a healthy discussion about what are the better policies to advance the community, we are denounced and marginalized as Uncle Toms.
All right, so that's Larry Elder. Hold on, John. Let me tell our listeners that are just joining us that Larry Elder is a syndicated talk show host. He's the author of the best-selling book, The 10 Things You Can't Say in America. And today we're talking to him about his new film, Uncle Tom, An Oral History of the American Black Conservative.
So, Larry, as we talked to, as you heard coming in, over the last several weeks, Kath and I have talked about 16 different people. For the most part, they were pastors, theologians. Some of them were professors, but all black men. As they came on the air, we would always say, tell us a story about racism in your life. And almost to a person, they would say, I was driving while black. I got pulled over. I did nothing. But all of a sudden, I'm a suspect. People always follow me. People always point the finger at me. So as a black man, I've got a problem from the get-go.
Well, John, I would say this. It's not like these things haven't been studied. In 2013, the Obama administration studied this and put out something called Race and Traffic Stops. It was done by the National Institutes of Justice, which is a research arm for the DOJ. 75% of black motorists admitted that they were pulled over for legitimate reasons, and it turned out you name the traffic offense, whether it's speeding, whether it's driving without a license, whether it's driving without your seatbelt on, whether it's driving without the car safety seat in the back. You name the offense, a black motorist was more likely to do it. I'm sorry, these are facts. And there's been something called the Police Public Contact Survey that's done every 3 years since 1996, where 60,000 to 70,000 Americans are asked, did you have a contact with the police in the last year? If the answer is yes, tell me about your contact. How were you spoken to? How were you addressed? Was there any physical contact? They cannot find any evidence whatsoever of some sort of pattern of institutional racism against black people. These things have been studied. I'll give you another example. Years ago, when Christy Todd Whitman was the governor of New Jersey troopers were accused of racially profiling black motorists going on the New Jersey Turnpike. She ordered a study, and it came out that the cops couldn't tell the race of the people in the car because they were driving too fast. There was sun reflection on the windshield, and at night, forget about it. You couldn't tell. So the study concluded that the cops were pulling black people over disproportionately because they were more likely to speed. The faster the speed, the more likely it was the driver was black. She didn't like the results. She threw the study out, hired new people who used brand new methodology. Same conclusion. It's not like we haven't studied these things. It's just not true. In Ferguson, we were told the Ferguson PD is institutionally racist. Why? Well, 67% of Ferguson is black, but 85% of those who are stopped in traffic stops are black. Therefore, there's an 18-point gap, ergo, institutional racism. Fine. The New York Police Department is largely officers of color. 25% of the people living in New York are black. Nearly 55% of those who are stopped are black. That's a 30-point gap. Why isn't the NYPD institutionally racist? And the answer is you cannot talk about racism, the police interaction with black people without talking about black criminality, which nobody wants to talk about.
Right. And Larry, I've listened to you for years. I get that. I totally respect you. I love your show. I'm a regular, person who, like John said, who leaves our show and gets on and listens to your show. But I mean, you're talking about your people, but I feel like, I'm a white woman. I feel like you're letting white people off the hook a little. What do you say?
Well,
to that?
I say that if we had a vaccine to get rid of white racism, anti-black racism, let's say every bit of it is purged for every heart of America, are the principal problems facing the black community still there? Do we still have a 50% dropout rate in our inner city high schools, with nearly all of the ones who do in fact graduate unable to read, write, and compute at grade level? Will 70% of black kids still be raised without fathers? Will 25% of young black boys still have criminal records living in the inner city, either having been arrested, in jail, on parole, or on probation? If the answer is yes to all these questions, then the eradication of racism is not the problem, and it's not the solution. The solution is we've got to change the behavior of people in this country. Back in 1997, Time and CNN asked black teens and white teens whether racism was a major problem in America. Excuse me, and not too surprisingly, both said yes. But then black teens were asked the following question: is racism a big problem, a small problem, or no problem in your own daily life? And 89% of black teens, again, this is in 1997, 89% of black teens said racism was a small problem or no problem in my own daily life. In fact, more black teens than white teens said yes to the following proposition: failure to take advantage of available opportunities is a bigger problem than racism. More black kids said yes to that proposition than did white kids. So what are we talking about here? Why don't we knock it off? Racism has never been a more insignificant factor in success in American life, and we're acting like it's the opposite.
Fabulous.
Larry, we're up against it. We got to go. John, give the details about the film.
Please come back and join us, Larry. If people want to check out the movie Uncle Tom, where do they go?
UncleTom.com.
Very nice. Larry Elder, come back and join us again. Take a quick break.
Thank you so much.
We've got much more ahead. We're just getting started here. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place. The film about Corrie ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold, behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corrie's teens in the resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true, breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with promo code Pittsburgh. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code Pittsburgh. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
Do you or your business have financial problems? Are you overwhelmed with debt? Then call me, attorney Dennis Spira, at 412-471-7675. My legal practice concentrates on bankruptcy law, debtor rights, and tax matters. I have over 30 years' experience as a former United States Department of Justice bankruptcy attorney and lawyer in private practice. I have represented thousands of cases faced with financial problems and lawsuits. Reorganize and get a fresh start. Call 412-471-7675 or visit my website at DennisSpira.com.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help-at-home company.
Moms sure do wear a lot of hats, and these days she's wearing a few she hadn't expected, like homeschool teacher, mask maker, hand-washing enforcer, social distance shopper, toilet paper finder, parent checker-inner, screen time negotiator, personal space administrator, and make sure everyone's happier, safer-er, and healthier-er. And to help you appreciate her, Trinity Jewelers is now open. Like hats, the best gifts are unexpected. At TrinityJewelers.com.
Kurt Cobain appeared on MTV Unplugged. That's when MTV used to play music. They don't do that much anymore. But during this MTV Unplugged series in 1993, Kurt Cobain sat there with this, you know, ratty sweater, a t-shirt. He was on a stool, and he had this 1959 Martin D18E guitar. I don't know what that is. I just know it's an acoustic guitar.
Right.
Now, the family held on to this for a long time, but yesterday at auction, this guitar was sold to a man in Australia, Peter Friedman, who owns Rode Microphones. Rode Microphones. I do not know Rode Microphones.
I don't either.
Apparently, it is a very lucrative business to be in because this man, Peter Friedman, paid a record $6 million for Kurt Cobain's acoustic guitar.
Good grief.
$6 million.
I don't even really like that album. I don't really like
The Unplugged?
Nirvana. No, I don't really like it. So they're not my thing, but that's a shocking amount to pay for a guitar. Just talking about to pay for anything.
You got that right.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I guess it's an investment. $6 million. Will it hold its value? Will it go up in value? Who knows, right? I mean, it's a piece of rock and roll history, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a piece of rock and roll history. All right. Speaking of a piece of history, we're going to be talking about statues coming down in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll open up the phone line, see what you have to say about that. We want to thank Larry Elder for being with us in the last segment. That was very provocative, what he had to say. And so we look forward to any commentary. I bet there'll be a lot that you'll have on what he had to say. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Malala. Remember her? Pakistani girl who was shot at by the Taliban. Well, she celebrated something terrific on Friday. So we'll talk about that next Monday edition, The Ride Home.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. For the second time in less than 48 hours, there was a shooting in Seattle's occupied protest zone. Police said the 17-year-old victim was treated and released. The shooting happened late Sunday night in the area known as CHOP, or Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. It followed a pre-dawn shooting Saturday that left a 19-year-old man dead and another person critically injured. New York City venturing into a crucial stage in reopening on Monday. Today, stores let browsers in, offices brought workers back, restaurants seated customers outdoors, residents both welcoming and worrying about the city's rebound from the nation's deadliest coronavirus outbreak. Today marked the second of four reopening phases, but Mayor Bill de Blasio called it the biggest step. Stocks closing higher, the Dow gained 153 points, the NASDAQ was up 110 today. This is SRN News.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible.
Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code Pittsburgh to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code Pittsburgh.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kanodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, warm and humid, low 66. Humid tomorrow with more clouds than sunshine. Watch for a strong afternoon thunderstorm that can bring flash flooding and damaging winds. High tomorrow, 78. Wednesday, clouds and sunshine, perhaps a shower or a thunderstorm in some spots. High 76. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Welcome back. Monday edition of The Ride Home. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We are streaming live on Facebook. If you'd like to watch the show unfold, we would welcome you and your comments. Log on to Facebook and go to The Ride Home with John and Kathy or 101.5 Word FM. We had an interesting hour. We talked to Larry Elder about his brand new film. What's it called? Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom, the movie.
Of the American Black Conservative. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he said a lot of things to make a lot of people angry. And he is a terrific top shelf talk show host.
Oh, he is.
We're grateful that he would join us today.
Fabulous.
And we're welcoming all your comments about that. But first, John, and we have a lot. We're going to go to the phones in this hour also. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But
Okay. Good
news to begin our week. You remember Malala? Do you remember Malala? No, you don't remember Malala?
Yes, I do. Was she from Pakistan?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. She was shot by the Taliban, daring to seek an education, if you remember. That was her offense.
How many? It was like 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago?
I don't know the date. That's a good question, John. I don't remember. I bet it was about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She was a youngish girl. She's probably, probably 14 or 15.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Terrifically brave, very well-spoken, and she became a symbol of all that's wrong in the world when it comes to caring for young women around the globe. Anyway, the terrific news is that she has just completed her degree at Oxford.
What? Really?
Just completed a degree at Oxford 8 years after she nearly died.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Isn't
so eight
that
years.
Amazing?
That is amazing.
She was the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize winner, and it was a big celebration she had on Friday after she completed a degree in philosophy, politics, and economics.
Wow.
Isn't that
so cool?
I mean, whatever.
That is so
our
cool.
Failures, divisions, and everything. There just has to be a time when you stop and you listen to a story like that and you think, thank you, God, there is hope for the human race. There actually are people who are caring and kind and supportive and want to give people chances. And there are people who are gifted in so many ways if we just open our eyes and listen to them. And Malala is one of those people. So
now that's pretty
really
amazing.
Great news. I know.
I mean, the crazy thing is that it took her to get shot by the Taliban to propel her into the stratosphere of a brand new life. Now,
right.
Had she not been shot by the Taliban, she'd have continued to live in this village, probably would have grown up and continued to live in poverty, but her life changed forever.
Well, and the reason she was 15. Thank you, Mike. The reason she was shot is because she was relentless in talking about the Taliban and their suppression of young girls and their need for education. And so that was their response to her her activism. Yeah. Anyway, she was after she was shot, she was taken to the English city of Birmingham for medical treatment, and her family eventually joined her. She went back to school in Britain as soon as she could, but kept campaigning for the right to an education for others. In August of 17, she was accepted as a student at one of Oxford's colleges. And it was really wonderful to look, you know, how often we talk about Twitter being a cesspool of negativism, right? Well, once Malala on Twitter announced her degree at Oxford, the wonderful things that people said would have really helped you to believe in the human race again.
That's fabulous. But we need more stories like that, do we not?
Yep.
I mean, there's a young woman who was deeply invested, really passionate, obviously a very super bright woman as well. And man, an opportunity came to her and she grabbed it.
I know.
And made the worst of it. I wonder what her future looks like. Where would you go after that? You think she'd work for whom?
I don't know, but she's an international star. I mean, her experiences and her attitude based on, or, you know, in response to them has been so amazing that she's going to do gigantic things. Hopefully in the name of peace and justice for all people.
Yes, she will.
Now, when someone asked her what was next, you know what she said? Netflix, reading, and sleep.
Okay, yeah, because she worked hard. I'm surprised she didn't throw Disneyland in there just to get a little spiff.
She didn't say anything about Disney Plus, Mike. Does that make you mad? You think, wow, you know, at least you could do is check out like some of that Star Wars stuff.
Right. She's going to check out the new Hamilton movie that's going to
So the new Hamilton movie comes out July 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yep.
Anyway, it's going to be seen exclusively on Disney Plus.
Are you a fan of Hamilton?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
And I wish I would have, but I have not had a chance to see it. But I would happily watch it.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
I have a Disney Plus subscription. Do you?
What? No. No. Why?
Well, then maybe. Mike, do you have a Disney Plus subscription?
I do not. I need to. But I'm thinking about switching to Verizon. And apparently, if you switch now, I'm not trying to do like a promo or anything. You get
it sounds like it's embedded.
No, it's not. You get free. You get a free year of Disney Plus. So,
really? Well, what's the promo code for that, Mike?
It's a joke. We don't have a promo code.
I got nothing.
For that.
I got nothing, Mike. Okay. Yeah.
No, we don't. I will say that because I am the only one that has it right now. Maybe you guys are going to want to come over and crash at my house, and we can all watch Hamilton together.
I thought Disney Plus was like, you know, kid stuff. Like you're watching, you know.
Oh no.
You know, princess
John,
movies.
Right, you back in the Snow White era.
Yeah, he
I thought you were watching princess movies or something like that.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's got Star Wars on there, Avengers and stuff. Ooh. Yeah, man. Come on.
My.
Your favorite. Your absolute favorite. You know it.
What? Star Wars?
Avengers.
I like Star Wars. Avengers. Yeah, you know him. The last thing I need is another streaming service.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
All right. So the bottom line is you're not taking it. All right, let me change the subject because happy Father's Day to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you.
Love you both.
It was a really great day.
And love all your kids. And
fabulous.
So it's really terrific. I hope you guys had a nice day yesterday. Is that true?
Wonderful day.
True
fabulous day. Every which way. Yeah, loved
awesome.
It. I'll be till the very end. And then
okay,
it wasn't
great.
Good.
Before we go on to the rest of today's show, I do want to talk about the very end of your Father's Day because you are an injured talk show host today, John Hall.
Yep. I did. Had a little accident out there in the backyard.
What was that?
Well, I kind of I slipped on some wet grass. And you know how, you know, isn't it weird? You hear this all the time. When bad things happen, things actually do slow down. They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So because I was up on a little hill there in our yard and it rained. Did it rain in your neighborhood last night?
Yes, it did.
Rained really, really hard. And there's me squeezing the daylight out of every, you know, ounce of the day. So I was up in the yard then looking at, it was like 9:20. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. Look, it's 9:20 and there's still light in the sky. And then I had enough of that and walked down. And as I did on that little incline, my feet came out from underneath me. I went flying in the air and then I handed, boom, smashing down my body, just crumpling, me crying out in pain and agony. And there I am lying on the backyard. I struggled to get up. And when I did, I realized I had sort of injured my rotator cuff. No blood, nothing that was, you know, sort of untoward as far as, you know, fluid on the ground or anything like that. But man, did I hurt. Boy. And so today I can barely lift my arm. Here's me. I can't do that.
Oh.
I can't.
We almost, had the fluid on the ground edition of the ride home today.
Oh, we've been there before. We haven't with you. You yourself are on the floor.
We're gonna skip that. So, well, John, we're all very sorry that you're injured.
I'm in pain. I'll just let me.
You look like you're in pain. I can tell.
I do. What do you mean? I do. Look like I'm in pain. How's that look?
Well, I feel like I know you. I look at your face every darn day. I mean, I can tell if you're in pain.
Here's my pain smile. There, I'm smiling. Yeah. That's good.
No. See, I was trying to be nice, and now
Telling me I look bad, like I'm in pain. Like,
I'm not telling you you look bad. I'm telling you you look like you're hurting.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I took it to some Advil. That's all I got. I don't have a doctor's appointment until July 8th.
Oh, I
could be dead by that point. I mean, seriously, that could be like throwing me in the grave. I have to wait till July 8th.
All right. If you're a physician out there and you can see John Hall before July 8th, please let us know.
Right. Ed's Muffler Shop and Physician will be calling me next. That's all I need. Okay. Taking a break, come back. What's next here, Kev?
Okay, Karen Swallow-Pryor and Claude Acho are with us next. We're going to talk about the racism of a very, very famous, well-known, and well-loved author of the American South, Flannery O'Connor. That's next on the Monday edition of The Ride Home.
All right. 101.5 WORD.
Hello, I'm Jack Graham, and I want to personally invite you to join me each weekday for PowerPoint, where we'll get down to the basics of what really matters, life in Jesus Christ. Each day, I'll give you practical, biblical steps for tapping into God's power for successful Christian living. So make plans to join me for a time of spiritual encouragement that will leave you feeling more alive in Christ.
PowerPoint, tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park, Grand Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's an unwritten rule of motherhood to put family before yourself. While very noble, it can also be counterproductive. This is Dr. Corin Gerchak, the female half of the husband and wife team at Tranquility Specific Chiropractic. As a mother of two, let me encourage you, Mom, not to ignore those aches and pains you've been feeling. Your family needs you at your best. We're here to help you meet the challenge. Tranquility Specific Chiropractic, 412-833-1314.
Moms sure do wear a lot of hats, and these days she's wearing a few she hadn't expected, like homeschool teacher, mask maker, hand washing enforcer, social distance shopper, toilet paper finder, parent checker-inner, screen time negotiator, personal space administrator, and make sure everyone's happier, safer-er, and healthier-er. And to help you appreciate her, Trinity Jewelers is now open. Like hats, the best gifts are unexpected. At TrinityJewelers.com.
Hello, this is Terry Hanna, host of Christians with Secret Addictions. I'm not a pastor, theologian, therapist, or counselor. I'm a Christian with 26 years of healing from multiple addictions. If you or a loved one are lost in the wilderness of an addiction, we're here for you every Sunday evening at 6:45 p.m. on 101.5 WORD. Why not join us on this spiritual journey to the promised land of healing? Talk to you Sunday.
Happy to have you with us in the Monday edition of The Ride Home. One of our favorite guests is joining us next, and a new guest that we haven't yet had. Two people on the line with us. We're going to talk about Flannery O'Connor. The very first guest, Karen Swallow-Pryor. Dr. Pryor's research professor of English and Christianity and Culture at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, author of most recently On Reading Well, Finding the Good Life Through Great Literature. Also co-editor of a really good book. I don't think I've recommended this book enough, but I really, really like it. Cultural Engagement, A Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. Her writings appeared all over. Karen's a frequent guest on our program. Also, we welcome the Reverend Claude Atch Macho. He serves as pastor in a multi-ethnic church in Memphis, Tennessee. Previously served as a church planner and also, and here's the link, an adjunct English professor in Boston, Massachusetts. We are surrounded by people who can write and talk. So both of you, welcome to the ride home.
Good to be with you again, Kathy and John.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, Claude, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Claude, welcome. We're glad you're with us.
Good.
Absolutely.
So the reason we brought you on, because, of course, we've been talking about race in America, and no stone unturned. The American Conservative published a piece last week about Flannery O'Connor's racism. So, Karen, you as the English professor and teach and talk about Flannery O'Connor a lot. For those who don't know Flannery O'Connor, can you give us a brief thumbnail of who she is, was?
Sure. Flannery O'Connor was a Southern writer in the middle of the 20th century. She wrote a couple of novels, but is really most famous for her short stories. Also has published a number of letters and essays, and her genre is best described as Southern Gothic for its freakiness and violence and sudden bursts of grace into the scene, as she was a Catholic writer. So her writing is infused with her Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm. All right, Karen, so let's talk about, you know, for people who haven't read O'Connor, I guess first we should talk about how she addresses race, or I don't know if she addresses it, what the context of her writing is. Is that the best way to ask the question?
Yeah, I think so. So as I said, O'Connor was a Catholic, but of course she lived most of her life in the Bible Belt, which didn't take kindly to Catholics and a lot of other people, including African Americans. And so she dealt with race quite a bit in her short stories, as she kind of satirizes the mores and the superficial Christianity of her culture. And sometimes that means invoking some of the worst stereotypes of African Americans, you know, through her characters. But of course, she was a product of that culture too. So there have over the years been a number of questions about whether she was always challenging racism or participating in racism. And a series of articles that came out last week, beginning with one in the New Yorker, kind of addressed that question again.
So then, Claude, join us now as a pastor and someone who loves the Word. Can you remember the first time you read Flannery O'Connor and what your response might have been?
Yeah, so she is a writer that I've obviously heard a great deal about. I didn't really have a huge interest necessarily to check out her work, but I have a few of her novels that are just sitting on my bookshelf. And the first short story that I've read from her is The Artificial N-Word. And so I think that gets at a little bit at what Karen is talking about. But I think for me, as a student of literature, as a pastor, as a Christian, and as an African-American, I'm pretty, I mean, it's common ground for me to read writers who in their texts are dealing with issues of racism, maybe in ways that make me feel grieved or I think are helpful. So that's pretty standard for me as part of my experience. And so, you know, it's interesting to see how these questions are now becoming a little bit of a larger public conversation.
Right. Okay. So I think that is, first of all, it's an eye-opening way to look at something, and I appreciate that. I think that also speaks well of you, that you that whatever you're taking in reading-wise, you're kind of looking at through that lens. So how do you feel when you read Flannery O'Connor?
I haven't read tons of her work, but, you know, the short stories that I have read, you know, I think even back to the story I alluded to, it's interesting when you read that short story, you recognize that her white characters, the way she positions them in the story, they really, their whole identity is oppositional to African Americans. And so, and what I mean by that is they really have no action, no real agency, no real depth or color to them as characters or people, other than the fact of how they look at black folks. And so I think if you just read the text in that way, I think you can see some pretty interesting critiques that she's making on the culture that's around her. Now, granted, I think you could read the story in some other ways too, but that's sort of the way I look at least that story, The Artificial N-Word, that I'm most familiar with. I think I see it as a critique on her character. So I see her doing some interesting things there with the culture and the context that she knows and that she's also a part of.
That's good. So then I see this, and, you know, of course, what's happening currently here in the United States of America, where we're examining our ways, whether they be statues in public places or authors who are long since gone. And I guess for me, it raises questions about, well, if we're in the business of tearing down statues for better or worse, then is that the same way that we should be looking at authors, and especially authors from the South who have written about the Black experience, however that may be? Are we now to look through a prism and push those authors aside, or do we apply footnotes to that? Karen, is that something that's, you know, going to come our way, where, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, maybe like as a young man, I was reading Norman Mailer. Well, Norman Mailer was a bit of a crazy person and a wild man. At the same time, I appreciated his work, but does everything have to be filtered now through a social lens?
Well, I think every time we read something, even great literature, we filter it through a social lens. As Christians, we filter it through a biblical lens. And so we should never read anything, even great works of literature, uncritically. We sometimes learn to see things differently as our own cultural blind spots become removed, and we can see things differently. But great writers are great because they both reflect their culture and challenge it. And so that's always going to leave them less than perfect. But if they are challenging things and helping us to see things differently, then they're succeeding and they offer value, I think. And that's true not only of dealing with issues of race, but also of sex and religion and worldviews. It's a famous kind of saying is that, you know, we don't read great books, they read us. And that's what they offer us.
Right. Dr. Karen Swallow Pryor is with us, and also the Reverend Claude Acho. We're talking about Flannery O'Connor. And maybe I'll expand the vision a little bit and just talk about Southern literature to both of you. So Southern literature is based in the South. We know the history, or we're learning, at least I can say as a white person, I'm learning more of the history of the American South. It's not reasonable for us to think that Southern writers who were writing in the middle of the 20th century or the 19th or the 18th were not affected or inculcated by the environment in which they lived. It doesn't make their writing something to avoid, right? I mean, if we get to that point, then we're just not going to learn any of the lessons of history. Claude, you want to respond first?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think there's also the reality that, you know, as we look at literature, we're seeing, you know, as Karen mentioned, a product of its environment and also a critique. And I think, you know, speaking as Christians, we're not under any delusions that, you know, the authors that we love or the authors that we know or the authors that were taught historically, we're not under the illusion that there's some sort of moral perfection that they're going to have. And so as we read, we're expecting to see things that we can affirm and things that are helpful. And also we're expecting to see, you know, the underbelly of human nature that we see in ourselves too. And I think it's important for us to recognize that. And I think as we read as well, I think it's important for us to also to really start with the text and what we're seeing in those stories and what they unearth and what they show us about the human condition. And so I think it is worthwhile for us to continue to read authors, and we're going to see blind spots that can help us reckon with our current moment as well.
That's good. Okay. For this current time, I mean, I don't know about you. My guess is you're probably in agreement, but these are exciting times. So if we're looking at the society that we live in, warts and all, and try to reflect and challenge that society, well, then the whole catalog of writers since this country was founded is rich and deep. So imagine the conversations we would have if we would engage in these writers. I'm sure... Karen, you yourself, as you write and teach, your syllabus will be a little different maybe going forward as you teach at the university.
Sure, exactly. I mean, there are classic works of literature that pass the test of time, but sometimes their place in the canon changes. I mean, Jane Austen, one of my favorite writers, was not very popular or as famous in, during her lifetime as she is now, and that has changed. And some other works that were very well received and famous when they were written have kind of disappeared into history. And so it is exciting during our time to be able to, you know, our eyes see things differently. And so we can go back and examine some of these other works and see things maybe that we didn't see before. But we can also look at some works that maybe have been neglected. I know Claude is writing about some great works of African American literature, and this moment is one where we can receive those gifts that maybe we haven't even had eyes for before.
Well, fabulous. Okay, so Claude, talk to us about that.
Yeah. I just think about a lot of the conversations I've had over, you know, these last couple of months with these different police killings and situations, as friends have reached out to me wondering what should I read. And I often mention to them, you know, read theology, read history, but read a novel, read African-American literature, and it'll open up your world to see the human experience. And it'll help us to incarnate in the stories of others the way, you know, Jesus stepped into our situation. So I think there's a lot for us to be gained in this moment if we broaden our reading and do so with humility.
All right, Claude, so give us some specifics. African-American novelists that we should know about or works that we should know about.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So, you know, one of my favorites, and I think it's one that I would say many people have read, I would say Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man would be a great place to start. I would also suggest Richard Wright's short story collection, Uncle Tom's Children, anything by Toni Morrison, The Bluest Eye, Beloved. And then if you want some modern stuff, I would recommend Jesmyn Ward's Sing Unburied Sing, as well as Colson Whitehead's The Underground Railroad.
Fabulous. You know, we're a little spoiled here in Pittsburgh in some ways, Claude and Karen. Of course, this is the birthplace of August Wilson. Kath and I are going to talk about this a little later on the show. But, you know, August in his 10-year cycle of plays, one for every decade in the 20th century, we've seen all of them staged here in the city of Pittsburgh. And those unto itself, those are just fabulous pieces of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm jealous now.
So you should come, Karen. I keep telling you this is a fun place to be, but you just won't visit.
Well, you know, COVID's got me kind of quarantined.
All right, whatever. One excuse after another. Thanks to both of you guys for being with us today.
It's good. Yeah, Karen, Claude, thanks an awful lot. Listen, Claude, we're going to take you up on those suggestions because the history is so rich and so deep, we would be remiss or just plain foolish to go by those. Mm-hmm. So thanks an awful lot for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Take a break, come back. We've got more ahead. Stick around. We're going to go to the phones here in a few minutes, and your input as well is expected and hoped for. Stick around. The 5:30 edition, our segment of The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
Go ahead, Amy. I'm listening.
Where can I find some hand sanitizer and toilet paper?
Did you hear me?
Sorry, Amy. I'm a bit under the weather these days.
How can that be? I've been practicing my social distancing.
Are you kidding? There's no way I can keep 6 feet away from you. Whatever your hands touch ends up growing all over me.
That makes sense. Keeping my phone clean is just as important as washing my hands.
Will you please do me a favor and finally get me a phone soap? Without one, I'm afraid it's only a matter of time before I get you sick too.
Phone soap is the clinically proven and EPA certified way to clean your phone, watches, and whatever else fits inside. In 10 minutes or less, phone soap cleans using UV light so it won't damage your screen like liquids or chemicals. Phone soap safely kills 99.99% of all germs and bacteria, including the cold and flu virus. It's trusted and used by healthcare professionals everywhere. Demand for phone soap is at an all-time high. Go to phonesoap.com and use code RADIO to secure a spot on our pre-order list and receive free shipping. Go to phonesoap.com, phonesoap.com today.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
I had a great time this morning with my dentist.
She just made me feel so comfortable.
To patients of Dr. Megan Stock, she's more than a great dentist. She's an answer to prayer.
She makes you feel so calm.
Didn't make me feel shameful about the condition of my teeth.
We just love to talk about the Lord and what's going on in our families.
I am confident that when I'm finished, that I'm going to have a bright, beautiful smile, which I really wanted to have for a long time.
She does fabulous work.
Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com. Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. For nearly 40 years, Central Christian Academy in Houston is where pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to become top of the class. Learn more at ccaschool.com.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
Tonight, partly mostly cloudy, warm and humid, low 66. Humid tomorrow with more clouds than sunshine. Watch for a strong afternoon thunderstorm that can bring flash flooding and damaging winds. High tomorrow, 78. Wednesday, clouds and sunshine, perhaps a shower or a thunderstorm in some spots. High 76. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
Happy to have you with us on the Monday edition of The Ride Home. We're getting our week started off in the right way. We're going to open up the phone lines because we want to hear from you. 800-320-8255. That's the number, 800-320-8255. We've opened up the phone lines a lot more in the last 4 to 6 weeks, I think simply because with the race situation, all the conversation going on in America, John and I just feel like we have to listen. We don't know anything. So we just want to open up our ears and hear what people have to say in different perspectives. So here's the topic for today. Statues.
Statues.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of local conversation a couple years ago when the Stephen Foster statue, which sat outside of the Carnegie Museum of Natural History and in front of the library, kind of like in between there, was brought down after a lot of conversation and a lot of consternation. But now, I mean, statues are coming down everywhere. We had a statue of Ulysses S. Grant, who was, you know, the general that, that led the Union. So I don't really get that. Apparently there's a statue of Teddy Roosevelt outside the Museum of Natural History in New York City. He's sculpted alongside a Native American and an African American. And apparently that's going to come down. And so we want to hear from you. How do you feel? Like, should statues stay? Should they go? How do you decide? Who decides? You know, what's your read on this? So give us a call at 800-320-8255.
Okay,
Mike, so, we got somebody.
Well, somebody's calling already?
Okay. All right, let's talk. Should we talk to Natalie before the break?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's do it. All right, Natalie, welcome to the program. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Natalie, give us your read. Statues, should they stay or go? And which
ones? Okay, well, you know what? I didn't get everything. I was in and out of the car, and I've been listening to you, so I didn't get the whole read on that particular topic. Okay. My read on the whole race issue is I don't think you're going to like what I have to say.
It's all right.
But
we hear a lot of things
think,
we don't like.
I think that when you constantly fester a wound, it never heals.
Okay.
And I think that race relations, you know, were going way in the right direction. And then about 11 years ago, they started going in the wrong direction because it was all about race. And people, I mean, it's just the opposite now. People are angry about it. People are thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, it was going in the right direction. I didn't look at that person by the color of their skin. But other people, but it's all about anytime anything happens to someone of color, it's all about race. And that's not the case. I mean, it happens occasionally, but it's not the norm. And this, you know, racism in our country is rampant. I disagree. I think the festering of it, if you tell a child every day of their life, I'll give you an example. My daughter's blonde and tiny. If I told her every single day of her life that the neighbor down the road hated her because she was blonde and white, my daughter would grow up thinking the neighbor down the road hated her because she was blonde and she was white, even though it wasn't true. So if you constantly tell people they're hated because of the color of their skin, they believe it, whether it's true or not. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well
I'll take the point. I mean, I believe that, you know, there's some of that, right? That, you know, 11 years ago is, of course, several lifetimes as far as media is concerned. And I think media, there's a couple of things here. Media stirs the pot. Media has been the great divider. There's also, I believe, and our guest at the 4:30 hour talked about this, about victimization. That, you know, people have been raised in the society, you could say Black America, saying, well, wait a second, we have been left out of the conversation. There is racism. The police have been on top of us, so we're going to speak out about this. Now, look, I don't walk in a Black person's shoes. I just don't. So I can't live that experience. I do know, I mean, if you were in a room full of 100 people and you said to these people, would you like to be a Black person in America? All right. Most white people would say, no, I don't want to be a Black person in America. Why? There's got to be some reason why people would respond to that.
So what does that tell you? I mean, I guess my read, and Natalie, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate you listening and always good to hear your point of view. It's not for the majority position in America to decide if there's racism or not. We're not like having a white person say, well, I don't think there is racism. Well, guess what? You're not the person that we want to ask. We want to ask the people who are the victims of racism, whether they think there's racism. I think that's what we've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks.
So to Natalie's point, you know, she said 11 years ago, things, you know, from her perspective, things were not that bad racially. Yeah, I'm sure you could argue
but
that
again,
all day that, long.
Again, that's from a white woman's perspective.
Right. But again, I'm not walking in that person's shoes. So what do I know? I do know that conversation with Larry Elder was really interesting. And Larry Elder, you know, who is a Black man in America, very successful. His whole point is this. The opportunities are there. If you pick the opportunities and work and avoid all the other craziness around it, you will succeed in America. I think he makes that point very well. If you follow Larry Elder, that's the case. And you do see a lot of people who are successful in this country, white or Black. And I think, you know, in many ways, race has lifted people up. You know, the race of people given opportunities of 1964, the Civil Rights Act, of course, get rid of all that stuff, right? The government is not supposed to be in the business of separating people. The government's actually brought people together by their laws that LBJ put into effect with the Great Society. So, it's a new day here in America. The opportunities are there for us. Are people going to take it or not?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I get that point. But just because there are some African Americans who are experiencing a high level of success doesn't mean there's no racism.
No, of course not.
It's not a one or the other. And I think that was a little bit of the impression that Larry left when he was on our program, is that because all the statistics that he stated are true, then therefore there's no racism. And I don't see that. I think that you can actually see both things. Yeah, there is a ton of opportunity in America, but has that opportunity been extended and made available to everybody? That's where I have to say no.
All right, we need to take a break. 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. Here we are, two white people talking about racism.
Yeah, please.
What's your perspective?
Can somebody
about
who's African American call and give us your perspective, please?
What's the truth? Is there truth? I don't know. Is there a definitive truth about race in America? Absolutely not.
101.5 WORD.
There are three ways of dealing with the Bible, especially when you come to a passage that you don't quite agree with or understand. The first tactic is to pick and choose what you want to believe. The second is to remain ignorant of what the Bible has to say at all. The third is to dig into the Word and try to understand all of it, whether or not you like what it has to say. Well, if you fall into that last category or would like to, please join us this week on Through the Bible Radio.
This evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
There was once a popular TV show called Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Now, the plot revolved around this fictional crew of a very cool submarine. And each week, the crew was met with this wild adventure and danger. And it would all ensue while the captain would put things in motion by giving the order, batten down the hatches. And the crew would get the sub ready for the peril that lay ahead. Batten down the hatches. I mean, it feels like batten down the hatches kind of time, doesn't it? Hey, get your financial house in order and finally refinance or cash out refinance. Either way, you're freeing up money for the uncertainty that lies ahead. Check out United Faith Mortgage online. Faith and family are at their core, and it's why they've chosen to be such a close partner with our station. These are strange times, so get things in order. Batten down the hatches with UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
This is Peter on his motorcycle.
Whoa, the open road!
And this is Peter off his motorcycle.
Please move your paper off my desk. Thank you.
On his motorcycle.
I feel so alive!
Off his motorcycle.
I feel like we covered that already, so...
On.
Wow! Look at the ocean!
Off.
Look at this article I found about urban planning.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you on it. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
If you are a caregiver for a family member or loved one, this is an important message. Excel Home Care will pay you to take care of your family member or loved one. Yes, you heard right. You can actually get paid to provide care for those you love. To learn more, contact XL Home Care today and get started right now. Care and quality when you need it. XL Home Care, 412-212-8950. 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help at home company.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
So they're going to take down a statue of Teddy Roosevelt outside the museum. Was it the Natural History Museum? Right, that's the movie famous Robin Williams, right?
Night at the Museum, Ben Stiller.
They're going to take that down, and of course, any number of statues are going to topple as well. We meant to talk about that, but of course, we're talking about the root, racism in America. Your phone calls are welcome at 800-320-8255, CAF.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to getting a couple callers on the air. Right now, Mike is very busy answering phone calls. Mike, can you put Dana up there?
Okay. Dana, you're with Kath and myself on the air. What are your thoughts, please?
Hi, yes.
Hi, Dana.
Hey, this is the same guy I called in a while ago to talk
about
the whole
race. I remember you, my friend.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Good?
Good.
How are you?
Good. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I wanted to give a reference on the statues. I do believe the ones that represent racism should come down. But if it's a historical, just a basic historical monument of someone, then it should stay. But I think it, to relate to John's, he said something about the media, that is actually correct. You know, the movies, the media, you know, those things, they inundate us with negative or positive current in our brain. So when we watch something that is violent, you don't, you know, you naturally take on that violence through the visual and from the eye perspective, you know. And I tell my kids, you know, don't try to take in too much TV, because TV inundates you, and it can inundate you in a negative way. So when we watch something that is negative or that shows display of racism and everything else, some people intend to act on that. And it's not done intentionally. It's done through the projection of the perspective of the visual. So I think what needs to change is to be more positive movies, and the interpretations of those movies need to be explained before or after the credits, to give that, to give the history, or to give the narrative of that story, so that way people don't act out on that.
Saying, Dana, to give it some context?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It needs to be more in depth with the content of the movie or the show that we're watching. That way people can have a better understanding of where that's coming from, and not act upon that negativity.
That's good. Right. Thanks for the phone call, Dana.
I appreciate Dana. You and John, God bless both, y'all. I think you've got a good viewpoint on that, that we have to remember that we're being inflamed by what we see in media. How do you balance that out, though, John? It's hard, isn't it? Because you want to be...
Turn it off.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. That's why you and I don't watch cable news at night. But just in general, just trying to be, you know, aware of what's going on in culture, it's hard to draw a line between when you're being aware of what's going on and, you know, being able to speak into culture and about culture and being taken over by it.
Right. 800-320-8255. Let's go back to the phones and speak. Hey, Mike, you got Greg on the line, okay? Very nice. Hey, Greg, you're with us?
Yes, I'm with you guys. How are you guys?
Good. How
hey,
are you? What's
Greg,
going on,
Greg, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. I'm doing pretty. I'm doing okay, not bad. I just parked the truck. I'm here in Ohio, so I was listening to you guys, and you know, of course, I get a lot of my information from you guys, but I don't know what topic you're talking about now. Is it the statues or
yeah,
is it?
We're talking about statues, but if you want to comment on the race situation in general, we will hear that too.
Well, the race is real. But I'm 62. I've lived in Pittsburgh all my life. So, me personally, I've always found a way to get around the racism. Now, when it came to the black and white, whatever the confrontation was, or whoever I would tell people, I don't do the race card. I don't cry the victim. Yes, I recognize your racism is right in front of me, but even before I became a believer in Christ, there was something about me that I was always able to say, okay, if that's the way you feel, my parents taught me, allow people to be who they are. Be blessed that they showed you who they are. So now you deal with them accordingly. If you want to take it personal, take it personal. If you want to be offended, be offended. If you don't want to take it personal, don't take it personal. If you don't want to be offended, you may say something offensive to me. I have a choice to receive it as offensive.
That's okay. Fabulous. That's really great.
Wow,
great. Okay, so we'll take that. So I mean, it does come down. All things come down to the personal experience, right? How we absorb it and how we respond to that. So your parents were very wise there. Now, look, I mean, we're talking to Larry Elder a little earlier in the show, and he made a point about President Obama. We as a country elected a black man for not once, but twice. So as weird as racism is in this country, and of course it's undeniable, the fact of the matter is white people, by a large majority, voted for a black man. So there's a lot to be said about that, right? There's something there that's really powerful when we do a whitewash and we think, well, all America is racist. Everyone here is suffering through this. Clearly something's wrong. But there's also many, many good things as well. And the way that Greg was raised and the way that his parents talked about him, that's the way we should talk about our kids, the same way with our kids about race in America. We go back to the phones?
Sure.
Hazel, 800-320-8255. Thanks, Hazel. What's your story, please?
Yeah, I just want to speak to the race relationship and with regards to one of your previous caller.
Yeah.
I do understand that not every white individual in America is racist, but there is racism that does exist.
Of course. No doubt.
Yes. One thing I must say, for some individuals, and I'm not saying all, as a black woman, I do not teach my children to hate or to say because of the color of your skin.
Wonderful.
We have had quite a few individuals in our household, various ages. The youngest is 21 years of age. And it was just now we had to have a talk with the 21-year-old, and it so happened that one of the 30-year-old was here with us, and we had the talk with them. What we do tell our children is this: racism do exist. That's not what we are about. That's not our lifestyle. We have to learn to forgive, move on, stay focused on your goals.
Stay focused on your goals. I appreciate that. Okay, so your call, Hazel, is really in response to Natalie, who says, look, I don't think there's that much racism in America, and you're saying she's wrong.
Yes, there is racism. It does exist. But we do not teach our children to hate. We do not teach our children to watch the color of your skin. However, we do, when situation comes up, We do talk with them. We teach them to forgive. We teach them to move on and do not pay, give life to that kind of behavior at all.
I mean,
so, in other words, stay focused on your goals.
Yes. To focus on the positive here. And like our, our last caller before you, Hazel, Greg, he said, I just go around it because he's got a goal in mind.
Yeah.
He's just trying to live his life.
I like that. Stay focused on your goals. I think that's really, that's impressive. That's a good word for any kid. Hey, Hazel, thank you for your phone call today, for listening.
Yeah, to forgive and be selfless.
Fabulous. Take a break. Want to take a break?
Good woman, yep.
Okay, phone calls are lined up. I think we got some time to squeeze in. 800-320-8255. We'll step away for just a minute, but stay with us. More phone calls ahead on The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
Got milk? We sure do. Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse, and boy, do we have milk. That 130-cow herd of ours just keeps on producing. They don't give one hoot about a world health pandemic going on. Come on out to the Springhouse in Washington County, Pennsylvania, for farm-fresh milk that we pasteurize, homogenize, and bottle right here at the Springhouse when my brother Sam brings it over the hill from the milking barn. We share a lot about our homemade meals and baked goods, but cows are the heart and soul of our dairy farm and country store. To say thank you for your unwavering support during these uncertain times and to lend a helping hand to our customers, we are offering all three kinds of white milk at a huge discount, $2.95 a gallon, as long as we can keep up. Our family is so blessed by so many folks stopping by and thanking us for being open, and we are blessed to be open. Let us share a little bit of our farm with you, 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
Traveling internationally may not have been a priority for you in recent weeks, but as our country and others around the world start to reopen, we're confident it will be safe to travel to the Holy Land this December. Israel has already reopened to the public while maintaining safe social distancing. In fact, an independent organization recently rated Israel as the number one country on its COVID-19 safety ranking. There is no better time than now to sign up to join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell from MyPillow on the Stand With Israel tour this December 2nd through 11th. Visit sebgorka.com and click the Israel banner to register. Seize the moment to celebrate life, freedom, and your faith by signing up to visit the inspiring Holy Land. Here's the best part. If for any reason you can't go, cancel without a penalty between now and August 14th. Reserve your spot today and travel to Israel this December with Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell. Visit sebgorka.com and click the Israel banner.
Coming down the home stretch is Liberty Mutual, followed by Customizes Your Car Insurance. But wait, from the back comes So You Only Pay For What You Need. So it's Liberty Mutual, Customizes Your Car Insurance, So You Only Pay For What You Need. And I'm pretty sure this is just an elaborate insurance ad.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. For nearly 40 years, Central Christian Academy in Houston is where pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to become top of the class. Learn more at ccaschool.com.
Happy to have you with us in the Monday edition. We're taking your phone calls at 800-320-8255. We're talking about statues. Should they stay or should they go? And who decides?
Racism.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ryan, we've got a caller on the line. Ryan, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Good Ryan.
What do you
What's
got,
your perspective?
As I told your producer, I have the perspective of is my mom, who passed away in 2019 after 30 years of breast cancer, and me went to South Africa. She went 5 times. I went 3 times. Mm-hmm. And my perspective is a little bit different because you guys, being missionary yourself, understand that when you walk into a church over there, black and white are together. and they're united in Christian love, you know? And the one thing is, you know, I wanted to, if you guys have not seen it, and I want to say to listeners, if you don't know who Stephen Furtick is and Elevation is, you need to go back and you need to watch a conversation he had with John Gray, because it's very eye-opening, because Stephen Furtick had John Gray, who's the pastor of Relentless Church, and he was talking about his perspective of the fact that, yes, race is still an issue in America, and he really goes into the fact that, you know, I don't want to say the kids' names, but he says, Stephen, I would love for my son and your son to hang out, but I know for a fact that he would be treated differently than my son. I mean, here's what I have been learning to do. I am reading books. One book that I just picked up that's very good is a book that was written by, I think, Moody Press, and it was called One Blood by John Perkins, who was civil rights person.
Ryan, hey, I'm going to have to shut you down only for time reasons, but that is a good book by John Perkins. I've only read part of it.
One Blood.
I can't speak about the whole thing, but Ryan, thank you very much for your phone call. Mm-hmm. Traveling opens up everything in life, because you start to realize things you never would have known if you wouldn't have gone there.
Yeah, but I don't have to go to South Africa. Heck's sake, I can just go down to Braddock.
No, I know, but he's saying that the beautiful thing about being in South Africa is that black and white were worshiping together.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that often does not happen here in the city of Pittsburgh. It does in some places, but in most places it doesn't.
Look, we're still a very deeply divided country. There's no you know, shock or surprise or secret about that. We mistrust each other. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's all stirred by our media. Mm-hmm. We're all part of this. We need Jesus.
We should.
We need to be in church together. We need to be praying to the Holy Spirit.
Hey, thanks everybody for being here today. Have a great night. See you tomorrow on The Ride Home.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.